It's the Tiltcast, episode 628, Sword Something.
And this week, guys, we talk Witchfire, more Final Fantasy XIV, more Shinigami Tensei V, and Death Stranding 2. Stay tuned.
Parry mechanics.
Ah.
That's right.
We're back.
Some Dr. Pepper.
See yet another episode of the Tiltcast. It's an M-rated show. I'm Nos.
I'm Jason.
I'm Rusty.
And with the three of us, you're going to get about 30 minutes of bullshit. Some games, some news. We're doing a warm-up for some things to come. So, what is today's day?
Yeah.
It's August 24th at 11:50 Central, 11:54 Central, year 2025. It's heat degrees outside. It's Sunday.
Heat degrees?
Heat degrees.
Heat.
It is the hot.
It's the hots.
Well, it's like 80 right now, but it's like another 7 degrees worth of humidity.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to get up to 90. So.
It is the hot. It's okay. I understand.
It's the hots.
It's about to cold down here soon. We're supposed to get the coldest day on an August 25th in 80 years tomorrow.
We've already got that up from the north.
Yeah, I follow your temperature just to compare like how miserable I am on the regular, Rusty. And usually you're like 20 to 30 degrees colder. Insane.
Today it's probably even more because we had a cold front come through. It is currently 66 degrees outside. And
Oh, fuck awesome. You.
It's just awesome.
You.
We're getting to the point where flannel is a distinct possibility soon. So, yeah, it's worth it. It'll be about 10 to 15 degrees warmer here in about a week.
Yeah, I kind of hate you.
It's that hurricane. That's what's causing it.
There's a Hurricane Aaron, right?
Yeah,
I've got a friend named Aaron, and everybody's been. Kind of not really hazing her, but just sending her memes about her being a hurricane.
I mean,
because it's huge. Yeah. She's not huge, but it's a huge hurricane. It's like what 800 miles wide or something stupid.
Yeah, it's a big one, and it's causing some issues on the East Coast. But I don't know, man. I was watching it, and as soon as that comes through. The northern air dips down, and then we end up getting a cold front come through, and it no longer is comfortable in shorts. So that's crazy. Everybody's walking around in blue jeans again. Holy crap! But
yeah, we made the decision to allow everybody to wear shorts this last week because it was just so ridiculous, and the same with the week before when I was on vacation. It's just because, like, when it says feels like 110 and it's 100 degrees outside, like, it's like the AC inside is cold. Don't get me wrong. But just, it's so hot when you get in your car. If you're wearing jeans, they're just sticking to you.
Oh, yeah.
Southern heat ain't no joke. I mean,
we made that call, like, the last week of June, and our workplace has been work appropriate shorts since then.
Well, I mean, honestly, don't have too many problems with the work appropriate thing. Like for me, what's less appropriate is the Hoochie Daddy shorts.
Right. Well, I mean,
that's the point. You know, nobody should be wearing shorts to work that,
above mid thigh.
Above mid thigh. Like, nobody needs to see that at work.
Basketball.
I don't care if you're fit enough to do so or not. Nobody needs to see that. Nobody.
Well,
I'm nobody? Looking in the camera. No one.
Come on. No one. It's okay. All right. Basketball shorts is about the. I mean, yeah. I'm a. I don't do short shorts anymore. I'm on camera for the first time in a long, long time because I was keeping everything quite on the down low as far as what it looked like until after the trip, which I had a fantastic trip, by the way. I mean, come and see, you know, and spending time with you guys, that was great. We had some really kick-ass tacos. We had some Savastano's, which is, you know, some really great pizza.
Yeah, Chicago deep dish.
We had the Chicago deep dish pizza. Really awesome. Yeah, and just some, you know, and for how little food I can actually eat, it was really, really good quality food. So it was, you know, that. Spent a fair bit of time, you know, hanging out with my buds and, you know, checking out some, you know, some video games and doing some, you know, stuff around town. And I ended up having an extra day in Tulsa that was not expected.
Yeah, you hung out in the airport. I bet you wish you had a Steam Deck.
Oh, yeah, dude. If I had a Steam Deck, it would have been a whole lot easier to go through that entire day. I got my steps in that day, though.
If I could have, if I didn't travel so much, I would have loaned it to you.
It's all right. It's a thing. I didn't expect it. Like, so the whole point is I was trying to get back, you know, back up north. And I was flying out on Monday. And right on, you know, right that day, Chicago ends up with a thunderstorm that basically does not leave Chicago area. It just continually, like, builds a thunderstorm over top of Chicago area. Well, the thing with thunderstorms and airports, if you don't travel very often, is if there is lightning, they won't let people on or off a plane. Because if you have to get onto a jet bridge, those things aren't, you know, properly grounded for a lightning strike. And so if you're on a plane, you're screwed because you're sitting there on a plane. So there are some people that sat on a plane for hours in Chicago because they couldn't get off of, you know, off the plane. Luckily, I was not on the plane, but where the hell did my phone go?
I don't know. Where the hell did your phone go?
I don't know, man. I was not on the plane, but the thing is they kept moving my flight out an hour at a time. And that meant I couldn't leave the airport. They didn't cancel it outright. They just kept moving it out 1 hour at a time, keeping me there. And the pilots were, you know, pilots and the, you know, the cabin crew were basically sitting there waiting for it, you know, waiting with us. Because, I mean, they're on the clock. Of course, they're getting paid to sit there and wait, but they couldn't leave because Chicago wouldn't take them. So the captain would get a phone call, and all of the passengers that hadn't just walked away and, like, rescheduled their flight, like me, just whenever you'd get a phone call, we would just stare at him, and he would just look up and shake his head, and we would just go, fuck, oh my God, we're going to be here for another hour at least. And they kept doing that and doing that until about, like 9:30.
Yuck.
And then they finally said, nah, we're going to have to delay it to the next day. Because at that point, the flight crew will have timed out. They can't fly after, you know, 8 hours being on the clock. So, so I had to get a, I had to get a room. I had basically wasted an entire day there at the airport, bought two meals that were super duper expensive. And then I ended up having to get like probably one of the most expensive hotel, hotel rooms in town, because they know you, they've got you kind of in a, they got you captured.
They've got your balls there. In a vice.
Yeah. They've got you right there. You need to, you know, you get the airport hotel, right? Well, the airport hotel is probably $50 more a night than any other hotel in town outside of like maybe a 4 or 5 star. So I didn't have a choice. I mean, I didn't have a car. I had to get a shuttle. I had to, you know, I had to be back at the gate the very next day.
Last flight of the day didn't leave either. So you were just like stuck.
Right, right. I mean, if I had gotten to Chicago, I might have been able to rent a car. But then again, Chicago was completely shut down, so most of the rental cars were probably gone, because other people would have had the same idea. They'd be like, you know, I don't have to, I'll just get a one-way car trip or something, you know? I could have,
it would have been a pretty long rental. It would have been a still like an 8-hour drive or something, right?
No, from Chicago, it's like maybe three and a half hours.
Oh, really?
So it's really not that bad. I would have done it to be able to sleep in my own bed, but alas, did not happen. So yeah, I got to stay an extra day in Tulsa and got to do absolutely nothing that entire day. I did get Fat Guy's Burger Bar.
Oh yeah, that's in the airport, isn't it?
That is in the airport. So I did get a Fat Guy's Burger.
Which one?
So, well, actually, I just got a. You can get it salad style. That's what I ended up doing. So I got a double bacon cheeseburger salad style. It's just really basic. In the airport, they don't have the specialty burgers. I think they have like a peanut butter bacon burger or something like that, if I remember correctly.
I keep thinking about trying that. Like, so for anybody that doesn't know, like Fat Guys is like a local chain that has like maybe 3 locations, one of them being in the airport, and it's big boy burgers. Like they are thick.
Yes. They are very big. You know, they're very good. But unfortunately the ones that's in the airport, it's a really cut down menu. And of course they jack the price up by about 50% because airport.
So is it like 20 bucks for a burger?
Pretty much. It was pretty close. Yeah. It was just the burger, no fries, no drink. That's all I could eat, you know, because, I mean, ate like a bird. It's just a thing. Like, I hated it. but that being said, it was really the only downside to the whole trip. Like everything else was great. I had a blast. And now I just need to get you fucks to come up to Northern Michigan, right?
Yeah.
You can do this.
No, wait for it to be warmer.
You can travel. Huh?
Wait for it to be warmer. Yeah, I'll bring up my north? Camera out there. Yeah.
Oh, dude.
I'd have to leave right now.
If you brought your camera up here, during the summer or even during color change up in the fall, I think you would get, like, excellent shots up here. But, yeah, dude, if you wanted to, you know, there's a lot of landscapes up here so that you could get some really great landscape shots up here. But, yeah, there's plenty of places, but if you came up during the fall, there's a place not too far away from here that is basically an overlook that overlooks the entire valley that I live near. And it's just a carpet of, you know, different colored tree, you know, trees and stuff. It's so beautiful in the fall up here. It's just a damn shame that it only lasts for about a week. So, there's a lot of color rides that go, you know, that happens. People driving around taking photos of the color before it all turns brown and white. Lots of white. You don't want to be up here during the wintertime. I don't want to be up here in the wintertime. But yeah, it's a fun time. You guys really should come up here during the summertime. Summertime or fall. One of the two.
Yeah, definitely.
Especially to escape that fucking heat that you got down there. But yeah, there's pluses and minuses to living in northern Michigan, I'll tell you that. Pluses, summertime you don't die going outside. Minuses is every other day.
Yeah,
spring and fall are about 1 week, 1 to 2 weeks long. Winter is, you know, is a good 70% of the season up here. And I decided to go to the south during their hottest month.
Yeah, it was a pretty hot week.
Yeah.
It was very much one of the hottest weeks.
So that's another thing that I've noticed. Since I lost a fuckload of weight, right? I didn't immediately die going outside. Like, I'm very, you know, I'm more tolerant to, you know, to the heat now that I've lost over 150 pounds. So going outside, I didn't feel like I was going to immediately die. Now, staying outside for more than 20 minutes or so, or doing any activity outside would have been like if I had to go mow the lawn, for instance.
That's what I got to do after this.
I feel for you, man. Sorry. I wouldn't do it. If I was a kid doing lawn mowing, I'd have to have people sign a waiver saying that if I fell over due to heat exhaustion, that they would at least call 911 for me.
I've got a method to it. So like you mow a section and then you come back in and get a drink of water and you sit down for about 5 minutes and you go back out.
Yeah.
You know, you say that, Mr. I set my AC to 75 degrees. What the hell is that?
What? Me?
Yes, you.
Oh, shit. So that was the thing.
He lives in a terrarium now. He's a lizard.
So the thing about the AC, like, I was in the hotel room. I go back to the hotel room, all the hotel rooms, they either have an AC that works really, really well or one that doesn't work at all. Well, I ended up having an AC that worked really, really well, and it kept the room rather cold to the point of, like, when I walked in, I got immediate chills. And I couldn't get warm at all. So I ended up having to turn the AC in the room basically just to about 75-ish, 76-ish, just to keep, you know, have it run so that it keeps the humidity down in the room. But I didn't want it to, you know, like, cool the room anymore because I was freezing. I'm not looking forward to this winter at all, man.
Yeah, it's
I really am not.
It's different hotel rooms. The hotel I was in Nashville, for whatever reason, it wasn't dehydrating the air, right? So so the humidity in the room, right? Nashville's part of the South, pretty humid place, right? And like everything just felt slightly damp in the room all the time.
Yeah, that's nasty. Yeah.
It's like it was hard to sleep because like it would get cool, but everything was just slightly damp. And Yeah. When you get to that kind of humidity, it's just like, ugh. Like when cloth indoors is like slightly damp from humidity, it just, like we've said before, wrapped you like a blanket. It was just like, it's like living on the side of the sea or something.
When your sheets are sticking to you while you're sleeping. And no, thanks. Nope. It's gotta be.
Well, we had two beds, so we would change the sheets from one. Like there was one night, it just got so bad. We balled up all the sheets off the bed. Like, we both woke up at the same time, balled up all the sheets off the bed. And grab sheets to redo the bed because, like, we were just sweating because it was so muggy in there. It was all right, but yeah. Well, yeah, we had a good time. So, Jason is 40 years old now. He joins the Over the Hill Club with the rest of us.
Fuck.
Yeah. Finally, he said goodbye to his 30s. We had a good time. We sat in that pool a very long time. Almost got like pruny. I was not hungover at all. I was actually quite surprised with myself. I forgot what whiskey we got, Jason, but it was pretty good.
Yeah, you got me a bottle of 12-year Macallan, which is like,
I noticed you put it
scotch.
I noticed that you've put it back in the box in my freezer.
I did. I did, because if I tried to bring that home, my son would give me no end of shit.
Daddy, why are you drinking?
Yeah.
It's one glass once a week, son. Shut up.
Shut up. Exactly. So
that's here whenever you want
that. That was really good. Thank you.
We really didn't play a lot of games last weekend because we were all just visiting. Like, we did the podcast, which was fun, around the table. Yeah. Forced me to rearrange the room a little bit and clean it out because it was just – this table turns into that table in the house where you set all your things, and it just started piling up. Kind of like the
table behind me.
Yeah. And if you didn't know – we are going to experiment with some video stuff soon. So we are in the middle of recording video and overlaying the audio. So this isn't going to be available on YouTube, but this is the test run on the side. So we're all actually paying attention to what we're doing on camera versus what we normally do.
I'm trying to. I have this thing.
But we're gonna enhance our YouTube experience. I think one of the things we've realized is that all of us have vastly different schedules than we had 10 years ago, right? Or even 5 years ago. Jason's dad now, right? Rusty's got responsibilities outside of himself. Same here, right? Like, we all have some stuff, so we're gonna probably do a long form podcast a little bit less frequently and a lot of short form recordings throughout the week on video, and we're going to increase that YouTube algorithm by releasing a crap load of stuff on video. So, if you're curious, hopefully this will start to pick up the algorithm. I don't know, Rusty here got bit in the ass by a mouse.
Yes. Sorry.
Can't find your phone. That's what it is.
I can't find my phone, and it's driving me nuts.
We'll let you look frantically all around. But that's something that we're going to end up doing is that. But in the interim, though, I didn't have time to do video games. Did you end up playing anything, Jason?
Since Rusty was here, no, I've not. I've been stuck. The family got used to too much of a good thing with us playing board games and card games with them while Rusty was here, so they kept wanting to do that every night.
So you play board games every night?
I've been doing the family thing.
Okay, that's fine.
This week.
I mean, we played some
what Munchkin?
Was it Play Nine?
Play Nine and Play Munchkin. Nine.
And Munchkin. We played Munchkin, which I haven't played Munchkin in years. And there's actually a an online version of Munchkin we could do this more often.
Yeah, well, we have to find that out.
We could.
It looked like fucking gangly claws to it.
Yeah, Rusty's fingers got thin and they got longer.
Yeah, I posted a picture on my personal socials, right? And I was noticing that hands were thinner, not just between you, but B as well.
I bet the FAP isn't as satisfying as it once was.
Can you still? It's not coming through.
Nope.
Yes, I can still do it. I don't know if it came through, but yes.
I just pop my wrist when I do that. Yeah, that is Rusty being able to smack his palm with his fingers.
You know, it was, I believe that the words from fucking like what, 5-6 years ago was my palms are very supple.
Yeah.
Yeah, supple.
Supple and flexible. Now they're really flexible.
Anyways, you got back. Rusty, you finally got a chance to play some games, right?
I did.
What did you play?
I'm playing a little bit more Final Fantasy 14.
All right.
Witchfire.
Did you actually play Witchfire?
I did actually play it. I got to, when I was down there, that was one of the games that you were showing me, and I said, I gotta play this game. It is kind of like a first person RPG. It is Souls-like, roguelike. It's weird. Souls-like in the fact that when you die, you can go back and like pick up your quote unquote souls or, you know, your currency, you know, from when you die, and it kind of gives you like that whole corpse run experience. Roguelike because each map, while the map doesn't change, the spawn points of the enemies do. RPG as in like you kind of, you know, level up your character in specific ways to give you abilities for, you know, and bonuses, and you can kind of build around different little items called rosary beads that you put on your rosary that give you bonuses to specific things. But it is first person. You have, you pick, three weapons, two primaries, and then a demonic weapon
What class did you pick?
I picked the one that's, you know, said that it was, you know, good for beginners. So I picked the one that was basically, I think it's
a priest or something,
or a saint or something like that. Basically,
I picked that one too to start, and I might actually reroll and start again.
Yeah, and I'm thinking that I might do that too. I have noticed a few things.
He's a little overbalanced for me, so I don't know where to spec. If that makes sense,
it's balanced around basically the luck stat, so you end up getting more crits where you normally wouldn't get crits. And it starts at level 1, so you kind of don't have a good beginner build. You just have something that's good all around, and you can build it the way you want. But the reality here is you go in, you do some missions, you pick up some items that are in the mission area, and you end up doing, you know, loading into that area, finishing, and kind of extracting through a portal that takes about 30 seconds or so to activate, and then, you know, spending your currency to level up, you know, improve your weapons, and then go back to that area and do a little bit more. And you can continue to do that loop until you can increase the difficulty of the world through Gnosis or whatever is the name of it.
Have you increased your Gnosis?
I did. I've increased it twice, which introduces new enemy types. You get more of your level up resources, your souls or so, and then you have access to additional areas that require that Gnosis level to be able to open. And some of those areas are rough. Some of them I haven't been able to complete, you know, successfully because they're just like, they're rough. But it is an interesting loop. It's smooth for an early access game. It plays really smoothly. The gunplay is pretty good. Like, you know, most of the time the gun, you know, these first person shooters, they have either really good gunplay or they're really soft. There's not a lot of feedback to it. The gunplay here is rather, you know, rather good for what it is. I do wish there was a couple different feels for the weapons, because there's automatic weapons, there's hand cannons or revolvers, basically, shotguns and sniper rifles. And then your demonic weapons are your specialties. Like there's a crossbow that has a seeking bolt. Think of Yondu's fucking arrow. It does that kind of thing. I've unlocked a grenade launcher style, weapon, which is actually pretty neat, because the farther away you launch it, the more damage it does. So there's different use cases for different weapons and different enemy types are going to be, you get better mileage for your per bullet versus certain types of enemies. So you might change up your weapon to like the ricochet, the ricochet automatic rifle. You can target three enemies and it'll just basically bounce the bullets between them.
It's a pretty good gun.
It's good for clearing up, large groups of smaller enemies. And then there's another automatic weapon that basically puts a shield up in front of you that will take one hit. And that's really good versus like the sniper style enemies. So if you've got somebody that's farther, an enemy group that's farther off, you could use that to basically, eat one of the bullets coming, to you. And you really want to prevent yourself from getting any type of damage in this game, because it ruins certain stackable bonuses that you can get. So it's an interesting game. I've spent a little bit of time on it. I think I spent somewhere around like maybe 6 hours, if I had to guess, playing that game. And I'm just scratching the surface. It's one of those, I can play it for a little bit, get a little bit further, set it down, go do something else, style games, which is perfect. It's the runs only take maybe, depends on if you die a lot, but the runs can take about 10, 15 minutes maybe. And you feel like you progress. Even if you die, you can still take some of the items back with you, which you can use to kind of level up in the meantime. And then sometimes you just need to, if you died in a really bad spot, like if there's a boss that's right in that, in that area, and you don't feel like having to fight that boss to get to your corpse or whatever to be able to pick up your stuff, you can use these items called a placebo pill, which basically causes all of the enemies to reshuffle on the map. And that will mean that boss may not be right where you died. So you can do the corpse run a little bit easier. So it's unique, and I know they're adding to it. Like I said, it's early access, and I think it's been in early access for a while.
So I didn't catch it. Did you do Gnosis 1 yet?
I did do. I've got Gnosis. I'm Gnosis 3, I think.
You realize it makes everything way harder, right?
Oh yeah, I know. But I was also not getting anything more.
So you were at a point all you were going to do is get levels.
Right. So I wasn't getting any more gun research. I wasn't able to do anything more. And I was at this at a point where I couldn't see or I couldn't get to the next boss without being at that certain at that gnosis level. So you tend to just move up as you go, and it was worth it. Like, even if I end up going back to the first area, which the first area is actually much, you know, is the easier of the areas. There's not as many elite bosses in there. You can still gather a decent amount of levels from the early areas and then, you know, go back to where you need to go, to continue on with the story. The story is really loose. But it just kind of like progresses you in a direction.
So you started unlocking the extra dungeons and stuff in each of these areas then, right?
Right. So once you get to the, you know, certain gnosis levels, you will actually, you know, come by runes that you can open up using, you know, currency, that open up little side dungeons that you can go into. And if you can clear those side dungeons, you get, you know, you get, like rosary beads, you get a bunch of different extra items, and
damn, that's a lot of progress over a week.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, and it was actually relatively quick. You know, once I figured out what the progression path was, I just I was like, okay, I'm gonna, you know, do some souls runs basically just to gain levels, and then get used to the gear or get certain amounts of kills with, you know, with the guns that I'm, you know, that I like, so that I can progress those guns and be able to do, you know, have extra abilities with those.
You must just be guns. Way better at that game than I am. I just pulled up your account. You're at under 10 hours.
Oh, just under 10 hours? Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm at like 6 or 7 hours, and I'm on Gnosis 1.
Oh, well, I mean, I tend, if a game clicks with me, I tend to go, you know, I go hard on that game. So it makes for a good time. So I knew I was going to like it as soon as I saw you playing it, because I was like, oh, that is really smooth. That is, you know, that seems like it'd be right up my alley. Let me go ahead and get that. That was the very first thing I did was, is I come home, I logged into my computer because I was having some computer withdrawals, and I started downloading that game almost immediately. So it was worthwhile. So if you like what I've described so far, Witchfire, definitely something, you know, to pick up. It is early access. I don't know how early access games tend to be, but they seem to be doing a fairly decent job. It's been in early access, from what I can see, almost a year. It's got a lot of features in it. There's still some things that they want to, you know, to add to the game. And I would like to see at least one, you know, one or two things added to the game that's kind of on their path. But, yeah, give it a go. It's worth it. It's like 30 bucks, 30, I think, yeah, it's 30, 35 bucks, something like that. Totally worth. I haven't really actually played any additional games, though, that I, haven't had a whole lot of time. Like, I did lose an entire day when I had a bunch of stuff that I needed to do immediately upon getting home. So, I mean, 10 hours into Witchfire was, you know, that, and between that and Final Fantasy 14, that's pretty much all I've played so far. So I'm
I played a little bit of Witchfire. Sweet. Played a lot of Shin Megami Tensei 5 Vengeance. Made some more good headway in that. And then I played a lot of Death Stranding 2. I am in the final act of that. I got past the point of no return without realizing it at some point. In fact, this morning I was like, how come I can't get out of this area? How come I can't teleport to the next area? Oh. So I looked up the mission number, my mission number, or order number 45. Apparently order 43 was the last point that I could do anything on the map. However,
Rip.
I only have like three roads that I had to build and like part of a zip line. So like, I'm all right. That game's a good game to just get lost in the mechanics of it, though. There's a, I don't know how, you know, whatever version of Australia this is. It's always funny, like Death Stranding 1, like you're building roads and connecting all over America, and yet it's like 5 square miles or whatever, right? Which I always thought was kind of funny that 5 square miles represented the entire United States. Kind of the same thing, right? Like this whole area, you start off in Mexico and then, you know, through a series of plot things, you end up in Australia, and Australia is like all of like 5 square miles, with a big chunk of the middle of Australia being snowy mountains, which makes zero sense. But, you know, like there was an apocalypse and the world changed, and I guess that's Australia. However, you need to get past that. The traversal is really the game, right? Like I built a zipline network all over these mountains. I've built, there's these, like, if you're a road builder like I am, if you're big on infrastructure in that game like I am, you'll learn that you build out the rail lines to the connecting points and then build the roads out past the rail lines. Because the rail lines will let you move big chunks of cargo. So the it's got like a maglev train in, I think, 3 different sections. And each of those trains are connected to a mine, and that's just something that's different from the first game. I don't remember there being mines in the first game. But you set up a mine, and that'll give you metal or special alloys or whatever, right? And you can then mine that with chiral crystals, which you get from just all over the world, right? Like, you pick those up from defeating the, whatever they call them, the ghosts. And, you can then use those to produce materials. So you can produce a lot of ceramics and metals with that and, you know, send those trucks or those cargo containers all over. But at a certain point in the game, you can teleport, which I believe you could teleport in the first game too. But you get the ability to teleport after a certain point in the game, which means you can't teleport your cargo, but like anything attached to clips on your bag, right? So like your guns, your blood bags and your grenades, if like if it's in the backpack pouch or on a clip, then it stays with you. And I didn't really take advantage of this till way too late in the game, but like it is a good thing to like send a whole bunch of material, because the trip itself takes like 5 minutes from one end to the other usually, right? And it's a good idea to do that and then teleport back to something and do a bunch of stuff. And then just go back over there and start building roads again. So that was kind of like the game loop that I was taking. I didn't 5-star everything. I 5-star some stuff. I'm 4-starred. What that means for anybody that's not played this, as you deliver stuff to a location, you build up a reputation with them, right? On 0 to 5 stars. At 4 stars, you get like every star level, you get an invention that they got, right? Like a tool for your journey. Whether it be something like, basically, they have a hoverboard, like that was one of the unlocks that's in the game. It's a hover coffin. Yeah, it's Kojima, whatever. You use it to transport materials, but you can also use it like a skateboard, which is awesome. It also flies over water, which is great. And you've got, you know, stuff like that. Like I found a spike tires upgrade, right? Like that's super useful. Got a rocket launcher. That's super useful. I've got a weapon, which I won't say what it is, but it shoots out the ghosts, and it drags people into tar, so they don't void out, but they're permanently removed from that area, so you don't have to worry about killing humans. I still kill humans every now and then, but then you just throw them in some water. Like, it just turns into a hassle afterwards, so it's not worth it, right? You use your rubber bullets, your shot. Like, there's a bullet gun. There's a bullet gun in the first game. There's a shock bullet gun in this one that also affects BTs. BTs, that's what they're called. The BTs are harder in this game, too. That was something I'm just noticing. Like, there are the standard ones that are easy. There are golden ones, which you shoot them, they, like, pop out a 1,000 crystals. There's these red ones that you have to use a special attack to kill, which are a pain in the ass. Overall, it's just bigger, better Death Stranding. That's what Death Stranding 2 is. And the story is pretty good. They really kind of like go more into the lore of that world, right? And really explain a lot more about what's going on. Explain a lot more about Lou. If you've played the first one, you know who Lou is. It's good. Like it's peak gaming. This is one of, might be blasphemy, but I like this better than I like Metal Gear Solid. It's got good loops. It's got good bones bolted onto this weird ass story. It's got better writing. Like the game's essentially, you know, you're building connection with other people in a desolate landscape. It's about connection. And that's what Death Stranding's always been about. It's not the post-apocalyptic FedEx driver, which it kind of is, but it kind of isn't. The whole game is that map. It's good stuff. I'll probably beat it in the next week, which I'm going to be sad about. I always get to that point where you're about to beat a game. And if I remember from the first one, right, I need to research this. So there was 2 hours worth of post-credit stuff to do.
It was pretty well.
You kind of have
it
to
was
like
a 45-minute movie at the very least.
Yeah,
at the end of the game,
and you have to set aside some time. So I'm trying to decide if I want to do that today or not. After I'm done mowing the lawn, am I beating Death Stranding today, or I'm going to play more Witchfire or Shin Megami Tensei?
It's Kojima. There's probably another 45-minute movie at the very least.
I mean, yeah.
But
you know there's going to be going into it.
But overall, that's definitely in my tops this year. Death Stranding 2 is a pretty good game. I've got 82 hours in it so far over the last 2 months. So I've definitely put some time in. It's just been, you know, I had some time. I had to step away from that game to do a lot of travel and other things because it'd just be that way. But yeah, that's basically all I've been playing. Do you want to take a quick break, guys?
Sure, let's take a break.
All right, we'll be back. And we're back.
Yo.
What's up? Been
making a noise.
Man, Jason, anyway, he looks so focused.
That's how he sleeps. I mean,
for a second there, I thought his screen was frozen. I was like, blink, motherfucker. His
eyes are just glued to a singular spot on the screen.
There must be titties on the screen or something, like Jason's face. Oh, he's on mute.
He's muted too. That's awesome.
Oh shit. I'm just sitting here going, what?
Very focused.
I am.
Yeah, we were for news this week. I'm sure there's other news, but there was a lot of Gamescom stuff, and we scrolled through some stuff. It's kind of funny. It's like we found one video. It's like, oh, it's short, and it's a guy talking about basically every game that we don't give a shit about. And then I went to just a supercut of trailers, which I thought is perfect, right? I don't need any commentary. I just need to see all the trailers packed into one long video so I can skip through. And skip we did.
Yeah, man, everything from Gamescom.
There was like list. Yeah, there was four Weifu games.
It was
maybe more.
More. I think there was quite a bit.
It's like that vampire game we were talking about. Looks like it came out in 2009. Basically a step above Witcher 1 original graphics. What's going on here?
Well, I mean,
graphics aren't everything, but presentation
graphics aren't everything. But you know, I mean, if you're going to be putting out a trailer for Gamescom, And you've got some lookers in there. Like, there's some good looking games in, you know, in that trailer list. And then you put out something that looks like, well, it was
kind of derpy.
It might have been mediocre 15, 20 years ago.
Mediocre is a good word. Excuse me.
Mediocre is a really good word.
It's like, yeah, it's all right. I mean, I've played games like that, and some of them are bad. You know, don't get me wrong. But that one was just like, okay. Yeah, it just looked mediocre. Not bad. Just
incredibly mediocre. I think. Better. So we went through and kind of scrubbed this list. I think. Man, I already forgot what it was. Oh, yeah. There was that weird game that it kind of opened the trailer with, which is Valor Mortis, which was like a bunch of guys that looked like it was some kind of European war, and the guy morphed into a werewolf. I don't know what the gameplay's like in that. But
is it a werewolf? I thought he just kind of like turned into...
A creature?
Yeah, like a creature. It was more like a cross between a zombie and a vampire. Just like... Yeah, he morphed. He was also wearing a mask and took multiple bullets to the chest.
Well, they weren't silver bullets.
Bulls with a saber.
Yeah, they weren't bullets. They weren't silver bullets.
No.
I don't know what it was. That might be, you know, we'll keep an eye on it and see what happens with it. Obviously Silk Song is a thing. It's been a running joke for like what, 7 years or something like that. Didn't they release a trailer for that in like 2018?
Silk Song
has
been on my it's
for half the for half the podcast life.
So Silk Song was added to my wish list immediately upon having a Steam page put out, and that was added on my wish list in December of 2019.
Okay, 6 years.
So
5.5
it's
years.
Been 6 years.
Yeah,
ish.
Gameplay looked more like, you know, it's more Hollow Knight essentially, right? And Hollow Knight was good. I remember that was one of your favorites that year that it came out.
Mm-hmm. It's
was that
it's
like 2015?
A solid game. But man, the hype for Silk Song has died a lot.
People have grown up.
Yeah.
I think
just
it's
a little.
I think there's children that have actually graduated high school since that game was announced. It's crazy. But,
yeah. All jokes aside, that's coming out soonish, right? Like 2 months.
Yeah. They say I will not.
I'll believe it when it's not holding breath. Is it purchasable yet?
No. It still says, it says the game is planned to unlock in approximately 10 days on the Steam page.
Oh, 10 days? So
September 4th, 2025 is the planned release date, as it says on the Steam page right now.
Yeah.
We shall see.
So
we shall see.
Well.
Okay. It'll be fine. Like, there's... I'll see. I mean, it's a game that I'll end up playing. I'm sure of it. It's because Silk Song is very much, you know, Hollow Knight was weird enough that I got into it like hardcore. The game gets real fucking hard at the end.
I remember it getting pretty hard.
I liked those games, but man, this game should have come out like fucking 4 years, 5 years ago. There's really no reason for it to have been this goddamn long.
Yeah, it's been a hot minute.
Yeah, it's been a while.
The other one that they were showing, Resident Evil, but like none of us had a big interest in Resident Evil, is that right?
Yeah, see, I haven't been a Resident Evil guy since like a long ass time ago.
I've not played one since 6.
Yeah, well, I haven't been able. Me and zombie games, you know how I am. So,
yeah. Justin's changing his video backgrounds and it's driving me crazy.
That hurts. Make it as busy as possible.
Oh, that hurts.
It's so there's stuff going on over here and stuff going on over here.
Other big news out of Gamescom, just try to break up the games a little bit. With some hardware news. There is now a release date for the ROG Xbox Ally and Ally X.
Why are you so obsessed with
handhelds?
That?
Huh?
You've been obsessed
because with... it's the first actual like handhelds with next gen processors in them. They're using AMD's newest generational chipset, which is a jump from the Steam Deck and all the existing handhelds.
That's fair. That's the Steam Deck stuff, though. I guess the reason I'm such a big fan is it's every game that's game specifically optimized for it, if that makes sense, right?
Well, that's true. And soon you'll be able to install SteamOS on your ROG Ally, and those will run even better than they already do. That said, I mean, all the architecture is similar to the Steam Deck. It's just newer. That said, the release date's now officially October 16th. Microsoft still hasn't released any specifics on the pricing, but everybody seems to believe that the base model Xbox Ally will be priced at $549, while the Xbox Ally X will be $899.
Ooh. So you can have an Xbox button?
Yeah. It's also running that new custom Xbox OS, which is a really cut down version of Windows 11.
Yeah, and they're just doing that because Linux, the Steam OS has just been so successful. I think the thing that would be really interesting with that is how many games have to still stream versus being installed, right? Because you can already stream games. Basically, what you do is you set up a custom application in Steam, just like you do for Discord. It launches a web page, and it launches the Xbox web page in the browser, and then you stream stuff through your Steam Deck.
Yeah. Yeah, for Game Pass, yeah.
Yeah, for Game Pass.
That said, the the big thing here is just the new Zen 2 chipset. Everybody's waiting to see you know what that looks like. Some of the news outlets and YouTubers that got hands on with it at the Summer Game Show a couple months ago, you know, all said it felt great, but again, you're looking at, you know, ROG specifically selecting games they knew would run really well on it, right?
It's probably stuff they've already tested.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll see how it does once it releases, but I mean, if it does end up being a better uplift over the Steam Deck's performance than what the original Ally and Ally X were.
Wait for reviews.
Then, you know, it very well could be a good thing. And with the Xbox shift, I mean, they took controller ergonomics into play much better than ROG did originally. I mean, Asus kind of really didn't focus on hand ergonomics.
Well, I'm interested in how they handle their mouse and keyboard solution, because the Steam Deck does a really good job with those touchpads. Like, I've played a lot of As We Descend when I was traveling a couple of weeks ago, and that's very much a mouse and keyboard game, right? You're using your mouse pointer for everything. And I very quickly got used to using that touchpad as my mouse. It was very easy to use. For games, though, on the new Onimishu, Sword Something's what I wrote because I couldn't remember the title.
Sword Something.
Yeah.
Onimusha, Way of the Sword.
Way of the Sword. Okay, there we go. Sword Something. That looked good, though. I am very much looking forward to that because, like, it has, like, Resident Evil creature designs with just a lot more violence, honestly. You'd be able to cut stuff in half. It's pretty awesome.
They have a flavor.
It was like that franchise is very old at this point, right? Like 20, probably started off almost 30 years ago. But I've been a bit fan of that since it was on like PS2. But I think PS2 might be the last release of Onimusha that was worth a damn anyway. Obviously, we saw more Ghost of Yotai. That still looks really cool. Lots of really good detail in the grass. One I was showing the boys was Kronos. I think Splattercat was playing this the other day. Somebody was, but I was watching some gameplay of it. And the way it plays out... So Kronos is this game where you kind of look like you're in a Bioshock Big Daddy suit, right? And you're in a world where you're... Like, everything is out to eat you, so to speak. And you have to burn the enemies you kill. Otherwise, if you run into another enemy, they can merge with that dead body or mostly dead body to become stronger. So you got to burn everything. But you've got limited resources along the way. So you're kind of scavenging for supplies and picking battles and paths that maybe don't look completely overrun by deadites or whatever the fuck they are. Creatures. But it looked like a really tense game. But it looks cool. A lot of, like, weird time mechanics. There was a Xbox 360 game that had time mechanics that you're in, like, in Russia or something like that. I can't remember what it was. But, like, you're seeing into a different time frame, and you're able to solve puzzles that way.
Time Splitters.
No, it was before that. So we reviewed it, like, first season Tiltcast. It's been that long. Trent was playing it. But you were in like Russia or something like that. I can't remember.
I don't know which one you're talking about, unfortunately.
Yeah, and most people won't remember it either, so this will seem like a new concept. But
okay,
there you go.
Cult of the Lamb had a DLC reveal called Woolhaven. It just looks more Cult of the Lamb-ish. Looks a little bit more brutal than it did before. Game was good, a little short, had a little bit generic components. I think I'm going to say it was a 4 out of 5 game back then. Worth a play. Worth a solid investment in time, though. Good. I think I beat it in like 20 hours.
I had problems with the whole, like, you know, camp management thing, with the fact that, like, everybody wanted to shit everywhere.
It got annoying sometimes.
Yeah, it was very annoying.
So we'll see how that plays out. Neo Berlin. That was, I love how the word Neo is in that. It was basically the Matrix, the video game, with the guy that does the game designer from Deus Ex voicing a game again. It's the...
Yes.
The guy that did the, like, Human Revolution, that guy.
It very much reminded me of, like, a cross between Cyberpunk and...
The Matrix.
And The Matrix. To a point where I was like, will you take the red or blue pill?
Well, it had like Max Payne slow time mechanics, aka Matrix slow time bullet time mechanics, which we always thought was cool. Like the original original Max Payne, but remember you do the dive and then it slows time, mm-hmm. and then you like dive through bullets and fire your guns.
Yes, bullet time. Yes.
Yeah. Cool. I'm all about it.
It was cool.
Yeah, it was cool.
I remember that. Oh shit!
It was incredibly cool.
Huh?
Was
99,
it
2000?
Yeah, it was Max Payne. Like
yeah,
PS2.
Jesus. I mean, I played it on PC, but...
But regardless, like, that was 25 years ago. So they're allowed to do that now. Plenty of new gamers weren't even alive when that came out. PVK was a new one for me, too. I remember I saw some stuff about this a while back where you're in a turret, like, shooting down IBCMs, kind of like asteroids. And you're slowly trying to escape the turret. Like, there's a whole subplot going on in the background, and you wake up every day to try to shoot down the asteroid, do your thing, and then there's a whole subplot behind it of, like, escaping. And there was another game kind of like this. Was that Papers, yes. Please?
No, well, there was... So, this reminds me a lot about... not necessarily Papers, Please, but this reminds me a lot of Do Not Broadcast.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, because you're basically in an area. You're in a bunker. Your
Forever.
Entire life is basically inside this bunker, doing things, upgrading your bunker, and following orders, basically. And there's a subplot that's kind of got the FMV, subplots going on. You learn more and more about it as time goes on. Of course, it starts off like everything's hunky dory. You just you follow orders, and then shit starts to go sideways, and it's got that situation.
It's got layers.
It's got layers. So there's, and it's PVKK, and I just saw that is short for, it's short for a very long word that I'm going to completely destroy. Planetin Verdi Gungs Canon Commandant. So it's very something.
Whoa. Planet.
Yeah, it's a very long
Planetin Verti de Gungske Ska Nanen Non Commanda.
It's Planet
Commandant. Oh, that's not even the full word.
Yeah. So plant. It looks like Planetary Gun Commander.
Planetary Gun Commander. There we go.
Yeah, something like that. Is a planetary, like, it's
some,
it's very much that, because you're inputting things to fire a cannon based off of the orders, and you know, that's basically, you know, the general portion of the game. But I'm interested in seeing it, because these types of games tend to take the idea of following orders and then just, like, twists them in a way that makes it so that you have questions as to whether or not you should follow these orders, or if you need to, like, try to go down different paths.
Yeah, it comes out summer next year. More Outer Worlds 2. Rusty didn't seem that interested. I hope it's good. I mean, I like the developer, but we'll see. There was a what's the Monster Hunter Final Fantasy crossover thing?
So Monster Hunter Wilds and Final Fantasy 14 are doing a crossover. They did this. They did a similar crossover some years ago when Monster Hunter World came out, where Final Fantasy 14 gets gets basically one of the monsters from Monster Hunter, comes over to that game, and it was a very unique instance of a boss fight, essentially, that kind of takes the idea of MMO shit and throws it on its head, because your healers can't heal. And there is no there is no tank. So it takes the whole idea of, like, the tank healer DPS, throws it completely out. The monster goes to, is randomly attacking people, just like it would in a Monster Hunter game. It would just kind of, like, do its moveset. Nothing is telegraphed. Each of the, people in the, in the raid basically have a set amount of potions that they can use to heal, just like in Monster Hunter. So they did a really good job. It was Rathalos last time. This time we're getting Arkveld, in Final Fantasy 14. And Arkveld is a really interesting creature. That's the
dragon
flagship creature from Monster Hunter Wilds. Final Fantasy 14 is going to get the secrets as a mount, so the dinosaurs that you kind of ride around will have those as mounts, which is really cool because that makes things nice. You know, that's perfect. The Monster Hunter Wild side of things is going to end up with chocobos for mounts. So you can swap out. You can either have a secret or you can have a chocobo, which that's very cool. And they're going to end up getting the Omega fight. So that's going to be a specific event boss that they you can fight. And the Omega fight, Omega is a kind of like a mechanical entity. And I'm interested to see how that's going to work in Monster Hunter Wilds, because I don't know how the move set would work. It would be completely different. The Monster Hunter World, ended up having the Behemoth come over to that game, and that was a hard ass fight because the Behemoth had like a lot of one hit kill attacks. Omega is very similar, has a lot of one hit kill attacks that it does. So it'll be interesting to see how that works. I'm interested because I play Final Fantasy 14.
Do you now?
I enjoyed Monster Hunter Wilds when I played it. It fell off real real fast for me, faster than I'd like. But I'm not one of those people that hate that game. I also am like overpowering that game with my PC. Just saying, the same thing with you, Justin. It was just like, there is performance issues. I get that. And a lot of the hate on Monster Hunter Wilds right now is the fact that that PC really hasn't been optimized very well.
Not unless you brute force your way.
Right. So they will fix it, but they said that they would be fixing it sometime at the beginning of next year, which did not help their optics any at all. So we'll see. We'll see how this all works. It's supposed to, breathe new life into both of these games by having a crossover, but you got to have a audience in both of these games for a crossover to work. So we'll see how it works.
There was the Indiana Jones DLC that they showed. Are you are you planning on playing that, Jason, or are you good with what you've got so far?
I mean, if I don't have to buy it, I'll play it right away.
We'll see. It looks like it's an expansion, and generally expansions are not going to be included in things like Game Pass or whatnot. So,
What?
He says, "Hang on, wait,
thing.
Wait."
Hurry up and do the thing.
Lord of Giants story DLC. Yeah, no, you gotta buy it.
Yeah, see, so he probably won't play it because it's DLC. But, I mean, I also will not play it because I didn't buy the first game and didn't finish the first game. And you guys...
I will eventually, just, not right now because... that's $40 DLC.
It's a $40 DLC?
What? Jeez. 40?
I didn't know it was $40.
Yeah.
Really? No.
Sorry. Never mind. That is the premium upgrade for the Golden Circle,
which is $40. Holy crap. That would be...
The... Order of Giants does not have pricing yet.
Yeah, they just revealed it.
Supposed to be out in September 3rd.
Okay. All right, cool. It's more,
so who knows, depending on what it costs.
It's more Indiana Jones. It sounded like it was going to continue on with the with the great voice acting that they did, for the base game. Looked like it was going into Rome and some more Roman secrets. I saw a clip of, underneath the Colosseum. We'll see. I mean, Indiana Jones, if they continue on with the quality that they got from, from the base game, then the DLC is going to be worth it. And it's possible that this could continue on into, an Indiana Jones franchise that just kind of continues on. I'm okay with that. I wished that it had less running around and more movie moments, Like, if more of the game was the very first, tomb raid that they basically, pulled straight out of the movie. If the game was more of that and less running from point A to point B, talking to this dude, going to point A again and picking up a puzzle piece and going to point C, that's the part that I didn't like. I just want, for me, I would, as much as people are going to get bothered by this, I would prefer more of a less open world, but more of a directed Indiana Jones story that you just kind of play through. Don't necessarily want it to be on rails, but I want it to be more linear and less open, because then it would follow along kind of like you watching an Indiana Jones movie. And that's kind of what I was looking for. That's not what I got with the game, and that's probably why I ended up having more of an issue with it.
Yeah, we'll agree to disagree. I love that game.
It's one of the only games that I would critique it as it's not linear enough because of how it was, in my mind how it's built. It just needs to play more like a movie instead of playing more like a video game. And I know we have differing opinions about it, and my opinion is definitely not popular in this, so I get that. That's just the way it is for me.
Well, there was some other things that we saw. There was another survival horror thing called Routine, where the guy was taking pictures with a camera gun.
I don't know what the fuck that was.
The aesthetic looked kind of neat, but it looked different.
I don't know what the hell that is. It looked like at one point he was customizing the thing, and it was more of a situational horror thing. Think
it's a Raw Fury game.
Isolation almost.
Yeah, it's described as a first-person sci-fi horror set in an abandoned lunar base designed around an 80s vision of the future. Set for Q4 of this year.
So, I mean, if it's anything like Alien Isolation or The Thing, or just have one thing that's kind of haunting or hunting you down, or you have to kind of check all your corners, or even if they did something kind of like they did with Prey, where the creatures kind of take on an object and just kind of follow you around. That's the kind of thing that would be interesting to me, but I don't know. what I saw of it wasn't enough for me to be able to make any type of guesses as to how that game's going to play.
No, I feel you. I was just noting that it will look different enough. I'm not a horror guy by any means. Like, this is the one time that I wish Trent was still on the show, because he was the horror guy.
Yeah, the last horror game that I really actually enjoyed was a long ass time ago. What was it? I don't know. I can't remember. I'm thinking, and I'm looking through my my Steam library at the same time, and I'm not seeing it. It's the fucking Outlast.
Yeah, that was a while back too.
Yeah, that was a long time ago, but that was one of the last ones that was kind of in that same vein where you're basically running around as a powerless dude, and hiding from the enemies. That was the last one that I really actually enjoyed. So, I don't like the idea of horror games where you can't really fight back against the bad guy, even though that's kind of the whole point of the horror game. It's just one of those things. Like, Outlast worked. Outlast 2, less. So, it was just a thing. What else was there? There was
that game called Long Gone. It was a 2.5D kind of story / survival game that had like Nintendo style pixel art mixed with 2.5D that looked really good. That was what the hell was that? Just called that out. Long Gone.
Yes, Long Gone. If I remember, yeah, you can actually wish list it right now on Steam.
Doing.
Yep.
And that is, it just has a coming soon as far as the dates on it. But man, did it look good! Like, it pixel art, but it was 2.5D, and very colorful.
Yeah.
I do remember there was at least one very, very fun portion of that where it is a zombie game, right? He pulls out a gun, loads the gun, points it at the zombie. The zombie stops and he goes to fire the gun, but it doesn't go off. And then he looks at the gun and, like holds it up and the slide falls off. And then he goes to throw the fucking gun at the zombie and misses. It was like, yeah, it's got some moments. Yeah. I'm gonna watch it. I'm not a big fan of zombie games, but
I really like the art style.
The art style is definitely worth watching for.
And then there
art style does look cool.
And then there was a Densha Attack.
Oh God, the Jet Set Train Simulator. Jet Set School Bus.
Yeah, it looked interesting enough. Like, I'm willing to see what it is.
Nah.
I mean, are you though?
If it's on Game Pass,
I'm if it's on free, yes,
I'll check it out. There was a couple more. Dawn of War 4, that looked cool. I can do RTS sometimes, and I would definitely RTS for that.
See, last Dawn of War game I had on disc long fucking time ago, dude, and I could not get into that game, no matter how hard I tried.
I played the shit out of it a long time ago. Used to play a lot more RTSs than I do nowadays, but I haven't liked a lot of them. But yeah, there was it looked neat. And then what was Pragmata?
Pragmata is
that's the game where it looks kind of like
Dead Space, but more sci-fi, and you got a kid on your back that has magic powers.
Basically, yeah. It's
being released by Capcom. It's also got a PC release. I'm looking through the Steam releases to see if this stuff's all on Steam, and so far we're looking good. I'm looking for...
Right. This one's going to come out in 2026 sometime. That is a, you know, that's a game that I've been really kind of looking forward to because there's some, it looks interesting and I need more of that kind of interesting style. I like the sci-fi, bits and of course anything that looks kind of like Dead Space, is there, but yeah, I'm going to keep my eye on it. That's been on my wish list for some time. They talked a little bit more about it at Gamescom, but not much more details from what I can understand. It's coming. And more of like playing the trailer that they released already.
Right on. Well, I didn't really see much else. Ninja Gaiden 4. That is much else. Ninja Gaiden 4. I've never beat a Ninja Gaiden game. I'm not good enough. So I think it's one of those things that I'm going to see if it ends up on Game Pass to give it a shot to see if I still suck at it. Because I have noticed I'm getting better at certain types of games and worse at others. I'm a little bit worse at FPS and a lot better at action melee games.
I'm getting way worse.
It's all that Dark Souls you've played. It's all that Dark Souls you've played, man.
I guess.
You went and got good, son.
It's got good at one thing.
Like, I could play Elden Ring, I could play Dark Souls, but Black Myth I couldn't get into. And you know, there's just some of those action games I can't get into, like Sekiro. Can't get into, you know, Sekiro. Like anything with a, you know, with a really tight parry as the main mechanic instead of a dodge.
Liza P has got a pretty forgiving parry, honestly.
Yeah, it's just like something about the parry system versus the dodge system. I don't understand why it should be the same damn thing. It's just the idea of like planting your feet and not being in, you know, in basically having an attack hit you, but you parry it is, it's so foreign to me. I just want to get out of the fucking way. Yeah, you know, maybe it's just like the MMO healer in me. I don't know. Don't Stand in the Fire has always been like running in my head. So it's just a thing. A lot of things are just a thing.
Well, that was the stuff that interested us from Gamescom. Was there anything else that we wanted to talk about?
Not this week, sir. Not this week.
All right. Well, in the coming months, look for new stuff from us as we fine-tune some of our approach to how we do this. And with that, where can you find us, Jason?
Find us at tiltcast.com. Find us on Facebook and twitter.com/tiltcast. Our YouTube channel is youtube.com/realtiltcast. And search for us on iTunes and Spotify. Subscribe.
Find friends of the show. You got Picking Up the Pixels or the Pupcast, as well as tvgp.tv. They like video games like we do. With that, it's the end of the show.
All right, guys.
Peace. Peace.